Pastor Rick D'Amato had a small stroke here this last week. And so we're passing around a card for Mr. D'Amato, for Pastor D'Amato. And he's doing fine.
He's
at home. But we can, but I thought it would be nice to send him a card. And so I think there's enough room on both front and back. If not, there's paper in the treasurer's office to slip in there, blank sheet of paper. So we will start it over here, by golly. Thank you. Mark chapter 4. The the neighbor, this was last spring. The neighbor right next to the fence in the road, they run a rototiller once through the hard ground and didn't spray or anything with the crested wheat grass or anything or the weeds, but just ran a rototiller through there. And then they hit me up for some manure. So I hauled over some manure. I said, you want me to dump it on the gardens? No, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, why not? Oh, just pile it here. We'll spread it as we need it. Okay. So actually, it was pretty good compost. It was from the year before. I gave them the good stuff. And so they had a shovel on top of that compost pile. And they, like I said, they ran the rototiller through there once, and they planted some seeds. But you know how it is. Once you break up some ground, it seems like the weeds, there's like a magnet when you break up ground for weed seeds, isn't there? And all of a sudden, weeds you'd never seen before in the area start to come up in the broken ground. So they watered it just enough to keep some stuff alive. Never did use the manure that I spent time moving over there with the tractor and whatnot. And to this day, may I say, that the shovel remains on top of the manure pile. Through the course of the summer, you could see where they had plant some tomatoes, tried to plant some squash, and I don't know about you, but that squash, once she's going, she's gone. Oh, man! I think that squash grows 4 or 5 inches a night. Unbelievable. Those leaves are, they go from a saucer to a pie plate in 2 days. The neighbor's squash got this high in 3 months. And you drive by and you say, you know, I don't think they really care. It does not look like they care about their garden. It does not look like they care about the soil preparation. These are, of course, I will have to say, to be honest, these are the same people who have Christmas decorations up at 4th of July. You follow what I'm saying? Cultivation simply means to prepare. Specifically, prepare and use for the raising of crops, cultivation. Some fields are cultivated while others lie fallow. First, you bring a plow in. The plow shares the cutting edge of a plow. The majority of plows are, is a moldboard plow. And you get the plow share here, and then that big, the big thing that comes over like that, that's the moldboard. So the plow share cuts, and then that other, the moldboard folds the soil over. Some people use a chisel tooth plow. And it's got the little V shape on, it looks like an arrow on the front. And that plows up the field. But then to further cultivate the soil, you need a harrow or a cultivator. You got a spring tooth plow, which is simply like spikes, but they're wide spikes with a hardened steel at the end, and they're a disc. Discs work great. You've seen the discs, they look like a bunch of frisbees, and you can move them at different angles for a more aggressive cultivating. Then you get the, if you really want to get it fine, then you run a spike tooth through it, and that's a really narrow, like spike, and you run that through. Once you plow it up to break up the clods, you cultivate it or put in a harrow through it, and you get that soil finer and finer and finer. Now, there may be rocks in the soil. Some of you may have married rock pickers. Yeah, it does. Well, yeah. Some of you wives maybe have married rock pickers. Good cover, huh? But they make rock pickers. You tow behind a tractor and it come along and with a coarse screen and pick up the rocks. Every one of us that planted a garden know what rocks do to a garden. They make your spuds look like funny faces, right? You don't have a round spud anymore. You may have one, and then it gets around a rock and it grows around the rock. What about carrots? When they get into rocky, the end of the carrot hits the rock and it splits off into four pieces. And you never can get that carrot clean. You got to cut off them little pieces because there's soil in between those little sprigs that come off. So rocks aren't very good. But the one thing that rocks really do in a field, if you're planting seed and you got a big rock there, you know what the rock, you know why it's detrimental to have rocks in the field? Because rocks transfer heat. And if you've got a seed below the surface of the ground next to a rock, and the sun hits the rock transfers the heat to the seed, and the seed dies. You can walk across a highway and walk over there, and you can do a little bit of investigation, and you can look at a rock, and by golly, around a rock, there'll be nothing growing around it. Okay? Cultivation is preparation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for your word that we can learn from, read, and that we can absolutely trust without hesitation that it is the truth. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for your sending Jesus Christ, Lord, to this earth, to the cross, to the tomb, and to rise again on our behalf. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here who does not know with certainty that heaven is their home, that maybe today they would simply cry out from their heart, realizing they're a sinner, and say, oh God, please save me. Please forgive me of my sin. And that they come to trust you, put their faith in you, and believe in you and what you did on the cross. For those of us who are saved, Lord, I pray that we'd look at this message and that we apply this message to us and the people that we're around daily, and that we can learn, and that you give us wisdom. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered to him much multitude. He entered the ship and sat in the sea. The whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them by many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded up no fruit. Another fell on the ground and did yield fruit, that was sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, 60, and some 100. Verse 9, he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's a parable. The parable of the sower. What's the purpose of the parable, of a parable? He says in verse 11, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, in other words, outside the will of God, outside the word of God, outside the realm of God of salvation, outside those the enemies of God, but unto those that are without, all these things are done in parables. Verse 12, that seeing, and he quotes an Old Testament verse, that seeing you may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not that this parable, and how will ye know all parables? He's going to interpret the parable here for us. Now, I am not ignorant to the fact that most of us, if not all of us, at some time or another, have read this parable and have heard this parable preached, or maybe taught on this parable, or read this parable, or understood this parable. I'm asking you to please bear with me. Please bear with me. Interpretation of the parable. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. In Luke chapter 8, it says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Okay? The seed is the word of God. Verse 15, and these are they which by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Now look at this, verse 16, gladness. How can we tell someone's glad? Can we see that they're glad on the inside? No. But we understand on the outside, we look at people's emotions. And so here it says, they receive it with gladness. But this is on the outside. He's going to tell us what happened on the inside in verse 17, but have no root in themselves. And so endure for a time afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. There are some who accept the word, who receive the word with gladness on the outside. There's some that receive the word on the outside saying, oh boy, my sins are forgiven. I want to go to heaven when I die. Yeah, I want to be saved. And they move on in life. And when something comes down the pike, they're gone Johnson. Were they saved? According to this parable, they probably were not, because it was all on the outside. But there was no root inside. God knows the heart. Churches are filled today. I hope Liberty Baptist Church is not filled today with people who accept the word on the outside. Praise the Lord. Amen, brother. Preach it, man. But there's nothing on the inside. I'm not trying to take away anybody's salvation, as if I could. No, but you can't even take away your own salvation. God says eternal life is eternal. God says everlasting is everlasting. And it's forever. But what I am trying to get across is what Jesus is trying to get across. There are seeds sown into different ground. And if it was sown in your ground that was stony, and you received it gladly on the outside, and maybe even got baptized and joined the church, what's on the inside? Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word. And remember, the word is the seed. And the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of the things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. These are they which are sown on good. And then there's a different here, moving on. These are they which are sown on good ground, which is hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. In verse 20, these are the ones that you know are absolutely saved or delivered from sin because they trusted Christ as Savior. Something happened on the inside. They're alive on the inside. That seed just didn't begin to sprout and then die off. Salvation is based, biblical salvation is based upon the Bible. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are born spiritually dead. When children die before the age of accountability, the Bible says they go to heaven. It's implied very clearly in several portions that babies and small children go to heaven. But when we become aware of our sin, and when we can say, uh-oh, that was wrong. Uh-oh, that was wrong. We need a Savior. No sin is allowed in heaven. God's eyes are pure eyes and can even look upon iniquity. And He loves us and He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for each and every one of us. Aren't you glad that God doesn't love all of us? He loves each of us. Even me. He loves me. He sent Jesus Christ to die for me, that I might have eternal life. If you're not saved this morning, you do not know that heaven is your home. You can know. The Bible says these things are written that you may know you have eternal life. It's not a hope so, think so, maybe so, probably so. It's an absolutely no so. Why? Because God is a God that cannot lie. And it tells us in His Word that He gives us eternal life if we trust Him and call out upon Him, asking to forgive us of our sin. This is why I've asked you to stick with me this morning. Usually, then, one will preach this message and either go to the sower. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, is the sower of the seed. The Word of God as the seed. We're going to do something a little bit different. I'm asking the question, there's stony ground. There's good ground. Hard stony ground. And there's ground with weeds. And when I'm passing by that neighbor's garden, I use the word garden loosely. I'm looking at that garden, and that ground that they have by the fence looks directly proportional in relationship to the amount of care. If you care more about the ground, you will spend more time cultivating that ground. I'm not talking about me cultivating my ground. Praise God, His seed fell onto good ground. But when we walk through this world, when we walk throughout this sphere of our influence, we're looking at soil. We're in amongst different soils. When people plant, it's all about seed bed preparation. That sure is funny. Because look at verse 21. And He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? I know. This is about hiding under a basket and blow it out. But can I say this? This comes right after. This is right in the context of the parable of the sower. And I know a parable has one meaning, a heavenly, earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But let's put it into the context where it's at, that it follows. And I'll show you why in a little bit, why it's where it's at, why we are able to put it in the sower and the seedbed preparation context. Look at it. It says, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not under a candlestick, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret that it should come abroad. In other words, Jesus is saying the gospel is not to be hid. In fact, the gospel, the seed of the gospel, was meant to be shed abroad, to be published abroad throughout the world. If any man, look at verse 23, have ears, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet. In other words, with whatever, I got it written down here, with whatever portion that you measure out is going to be given unto you. Let's put it this way. If you're sharing the gospel with a lot of people, God's going to give you that much more grace, that much more wisdom, that much more memorization to witness to others. Because you're using what He has given you. Let's look at it again. Take heed with what you hear, with what measure, with what portion you meet. You meet or you allot or use. That's what meat means. Whatever you use with that measure, that portion, shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Look at verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. See where that bushel basket is? He's talking about the sower. He's talking about the ground. He goes to the bushel basket. We're supposed to be doing something with the seed. And he gives us the ability and the wisdom to do something with that seed. And he says, so is the kingdom of God, if a man should cast seed into the ground. Some of us may say, well, so-and-so is a better witness than I am. Well, so-and-so can, they're called to witness. We're all called to witness. Maybe that person that you think is a better witness, he's getting allotted a more of a portion because he's using what God's given him. I sort of pulled this from a popular radio program. And you got this, witness like no other so you can witness like no other. You witness like no other. God gives you more stuff, more power. And then you can witness like no other. Not only salvation requires seedbed preparation, and seedbed preparation comes from us, but salvation is a miracle. Look at verse 26 again. So is the kingdom of God, if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seeds should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. I have no idea. All I know is you prepare that earth, you put them seeds in there, and you cover them up, and sometimes you got a line going. So what? It doesn't matter. A little water on it, and you walk out there, and the next evening, and the next morning, there's a little crack in the soil. And you go, And then you get down, like especially with carrots, you know. You get down, you can't see it. You can't see one carrot when they first come. Am I not telling the truth? You can't see. But you get down like this on the row. And those squashes, they come up. And you don't even see them, but you see this big bulge. And all of a sudden, 3-4 little cracks. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And then you got corn is really funny because you got, wow, these are coming up good, but man, these 3 or 4, I wonder what happened. I wonder those seeds were. And then all of a sudden, those 3 or 4 come up. You go, wow, it's a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. So is the kingdom of God. Verse 26, of man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring up and grow up. He knoweth not how. But you know, we don't know the physics, the biological. Honestly, science still does not know how a seed, what makes it do that. God makes it do that. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn in the ear. How in the world does that happen? You see this little tube out of leaves, and all of a sudden here's this corn deal growing in there. And then there's corn kernels. It's a miracle. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth his sickle, because the harvest is come. Cultivation requires labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. May I say this, some plant, some water, but somebody has to do the seed bed preparation in order for that seed to go into good ground. Could it be that some of us are responsible for seedbed preparation? Could it be that some of us are responsible for poor seedbed preparation? It's not easy. The different soils around us, especially at work, especially when you're the hardest worker there. Everybody thinks they're the hardest worker. The laziest guy at work thinks he's the hardest worker there. Have you noticed that? Oh. You go, you haven't done a thing all day. Oh. And seedbed preparation is hard. Why? Because people make us mad. But the very least we should do as seedbed preparers, preparationers, why? Because we can throw in a little Bible and say, thou sluggard desireth a lot. We can put a little water on there. And then we can compact it. Compact their soil. Tear them ones. We may be right. But if we tear them upside down, one side, the other, we've compacted that soil and we've made it hard. And someone comes along and we might even pray for them. Oh, God, please save their soul. They really need you. That way they can do their work and I won't get so angry. And someone casts a seed there and it's hard ground. In fact, sometimes we might even add a little bit of water. You know what I'm saying, a little bit of water, because that helps compact the soil. And they know we're Christians. We might just add just a little bit of water, spiritual water, and compact that soil. And then back up our dump truck full of rocks and dump it on there. And then pray for that person that they get reached for the cause of Christ. That's detrimental. Every one of us that can name the name of Jesus Christ are involved with seedbed preparation. It's very important. It's not just witnessing. That's planting the seed. But what kind of ground is that seed going to fall upon? Our position. Dry, hard ground, there's no growth. We need to cultivate. Soften the ground. Hey, show that we care. Show the world we care. Show our Lord and Savior that we care. That it not be like that garden of the neighbors alongside the fence that without a doubt shows they don't care. Some of us will have to plow. We'll first have to break up the ground. And this is the hardest thing to do. And it may entail a lot of time. It may entail a lot more energy than we ever figured on. But it's got to be done. First things first. You don't run a harrow across there before you plow it. You're wasting your time. It's got to be plowed first. It may take a while. Then some of us disc, break up the clods and gain further trust. And may I say this, genuineness. Genuineness. It's easy to say, oh, praise God, I'll pray for you and walk away without a care. I said the right things. No, we need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to break our hearts so that people can see the genuine care and compassion that we have for others. Why? What reason in the world would we not have compassion and care? Look at the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ bestowed upon us. Because He loves us. The least we can do is ask the Lord to crush us. For others. Water the ground. How are we going to water the ground? With the water of the Word. Okay? It's good to know our Bibles. It's good to read our Bibles through once a year. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak. The Holy Spirit will give us the opportunity and the use of His Scriptures. But can I say this? Too much water isn't good either. I don't mean to take away from the Word of God. But I think all of us, from a practical standpoint, knows what that means. Too much water may not be good at one time. Coming down Canyon Ferry Road this morning, and I'm sorry. We'll forget that illustration. Too much water is not good. And you know what? We got to keep the weeds out. Keep the weeds out, maybe preventative too. Not entangle others with deceitfulness of riches. Let them see that we're content. Not entangle others with maybe politics. You know, if someone needs to get saved, why argue with them, especially if they're on the other side of the spectrum of politics? It serves no purpose except to entangle them and throw more weeds on their ground. Just like a rock, nothing will grow around a rock. You put a knapweed out there. And you walk and look at a knapweed. How much stuff grows around a knapweed stem? Nothing. There's about 8 or 10 inches around that knapweed. Then nothing will grow. Because that knapweed's throwing chemicals out there, keeping stuff keeping the seed from growing. The object is to cultivate, one, to having good ground. Others may water. Others may plant. Hey, we may get to plant. But every one of us have an obligation not to put our candle underneath a bushel basket and to cultivate ground. Others may water, others may plant, but praise God, God gives the increase. Our production, their job in the world is to produce. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 through 9 talks about dress. Dress means to till or cultivate. Our reaping. Reap the things of the Lord. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap to everlasting. This is not talking about money. This is not talking about giving money to the church or religious leader or organization or Liberty Baptist Church. This sowing and reaping is talking about spiritual things and is talking about souls. None of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for them, for the redemption of them is precious. We're involved in cultivating good ground so that others, when the seed is planted, it might take root and be real in their lives. The amount of reaping is based upon sowing. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, but say I this, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. This is not about money. This is about reaching people for the cause of Jesus Christ. There is eternity on the balance here of people. It's heaven and hell. And we are to sow bountifully. The wicked work of the deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward, our reward. He that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And we are laborers together with God. We're all in this together. Someone may come to the altar this morning, maybe this morning, and like in mornings before, and someone lead them to Christ. Someone be able to have the privilege and the honor to plant the seed of the gospel. But may I say this, we're co-laborers. We're all in this together. Someone had to bring that person. Somebody had to call that person. Somebody had to pay for the gas and lights. Somebody had to sing to prepare the soil with that much. So all of us work together for seedbed preparation that one can plant. Some water. And praise God, watch God give the increase. Well, I'll wait. It's too early. Too early to cultivate. Well, it's too early to get the harrow going because I got plenty of time. We wait too late, then July comes and there's not enough moisture for the seed to take root. To sanctify the Lord in your hearts, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason to hope of the hope that is in within you with meekness and fear. We're in seedbed preparation. That's a business we're in. Some of us plant, some of us water. We may not, can I say this? We may not see the results 25, 30 years down the road. My buddy Hap, you know Hap in Basin? 25 years. My old boss Daryl, almost 30 years, I was able to lead him to the Lord. 30 years. I'd even forgotten about him. Don't get discouraged. Keep cultivating soil. Keep planting whenever you can. Water whenever you can. Don't get discouraged. We're going to have an invitation. We are called to labor. We're called to sow the seed of the gospel. But cultivation, once again, means preparation. The Lord's given us each and every one of us different tools to cultivate. Some of us use different tools. Some of us are at different stations in life, working on different fields. But we're all in the same business. We're all co-laborers for the cause of Christ. Some water, some plant, but I'll tell you this, we're all in a position to cultivate and prepare hearts. We don't have to be like the neighbor that neglects the soil. In fact, we should not be like the neighbor that neglects the soil right next to them. We should be in the business of cultivating, not procrastinating, but laboring to prepare soil that the seed be planted. Let's stand.
389.
If you're not saved this morning, if you do not know that heaven is your home, you might come forward this morning. Someone will show you how you can know that heaven is your home. What about coming forward this morning and asking God to help us, give us opportunity to cultivate the soil of those around us?
You may have a seat and grab a hymnal in front of you and turn to page 376. 376, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Page 376. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood.
ready shortly.